available for human use by changing natural conditions. You'll read in the literature about making the desert bloom or prior appropriation water doctrine, don't let any water go to the sea because that's a waste of a drop. And it really was to rescue from an undesirable state. But I think now, and for sure for most of your careers out there, you're going to see us moving towards that to recall from wrong or improper conduct. And, you know, we can look back now and say it was improper conduct. It's awful tough when you're at the time. And I've actually been working in water management probably for 25 years, at least getting paid for it. And I've always been searching for what is water management. I think in this quote by Otto, the three words that jump out at me are optimum. It's a value-based judgment. Balance, that means there's going to be somebody on the other side of the teeter-totter. They want a different idea. And I think use and misuse implies that you can actually tell the difference. And for wastewater treatment, we have that misuse and use. Historically and in real time for some of the people in this room, we used to dump untreated wastewater into Lake Washington. We don't do that anymore because part of the science has told us how bad it was, and part of the public perception and use of the lake was foregone because of its use as a receiving water. For King County, I wanted to just highlight what the biggest water issues are. And for local government, salmon recovery or water for habitat for fish within what we call the Puget Sound Partnership, stormwater management is really two parts, peak flow and non-point water quality. Flooding, I don't know how many of you have seen the front page of the Seattle Times the last couple of days and the articles about the Howard Hanson Reservoir. That's a whole other seminar topic, is dam safety and how we dam what we do. But flooding is a big one right now. Historically, it's not near as big as bullets number one or two. Okay, I think that salmon recovery is something that we're going to be dealing with as a region for a long time. I tell people it took us about 100 years to goof it up, but it might take us 100 years to fix it. And within salmon recovery, each of the watersheds created their own bottoms-up grassroots. It's called shared strategy. It was actually a new model across the country for how to get a recovery plan that NOAA fisheries would adopt. But the fact of the matter is that there was a lack of robust programs for certain issues at the local level. Because of that, we shared strategy, which is the state, federal, local agencies, wrote a regional supplement. It covered water quantity, water quality, regional monitoring, things like that. But at least for water quantity, there was a commitment to create these protect and enhance programs at the watershed level. We call them an acronym called PEPs, PEPs for all and all for PEPs. The only problem is, what are they? Who knows? And the idea was that they would be both a federal, state, local, private sector, nonprofits working together to restore waters. And in each of WIRAs, that's called Water Resource Inventory Areas, that's how the state of Washington Department of Ecology organizes their watersheds, we have a recovery program for each of those watersheds. And each watershed has different water challenges, but they're all supposed to have these PEP programs created. And we in King County look to reclaim water as playing a part in future PEP programs. I wanted to give you a little bit of background and reclaim water. And Debbie saw this talk last April. We had working with some other folks at UW, and she thought this would be a good presentation here. And what I had talked about was how you get institutional frameworks for water management. And by and large, it's the statutory framework. And in the world of water, which goes back in our state and code about 100, 110 years, reclaimed water is brand new. Not that we just started doing reclaimed water, but we just started the legal kind of institutional framework. So 1992 was the first time we had a Water Reclamation Act. It directed two state agencies to develop standards for the use of highly treated wastewater. And it didn't take too long to where we modified the statute again that we were requiring standards for environmental use. So not only if you were using it in an industrial plant, but what about if you wanted to augment stream flow? What about if you wanted to put it in a wetlands? How clean is clean enough? And so we came up with standards. And then in 1997, we amended it to address issues like water rights. And to be honest, a lot of new technologies take seed money. It's usually public money. We have demonstration projects. We had 10 of them across the state that got the ball rolling and started it, and they were the first 10 projects. And we came up with standards for gray water use, which is a slightly different angle on reclaimed water. In 2001, the agricultural interests said, looks like a pretty good idea. We want that for us too. So potato processing plants can reclaim water. And we did the same idea for industrial process. And then we had another directive to adopt a comprehensive rule no later than 2010 that talks about technical standards, the administrative process, how you get a permit, what are the roles of the agencies. To state agency staffers, that's nuts and bolts how you operate a program. And this one is up here because right now, this committee that was created has just made a recommendation to the legislature. You can go on Ecology's webpage, see what this committee is recommending for the future of reclaimed water for legislation in 2010. And what they're trying to look at is, how do I get rid of barriers? How can we have more reclaimed water in this state? And so they're both doing legislation and rule development, which is the administrative law for operating the program. And so what's all that law supposed to do? It's certainly supposed to encourage and facilitate reclaimed water. It's supposed to be talking about creating a new basic supply of water to meet future needs. We certainly have protection of public health and safety. Probably should be number one on the list, I guess. And then we have new ideas, protect and enhance the environment, gain public confidence and support for use of reclaimed water. And then there's always the money part, cost-effective solutions. Statewide, we have 20 projects in operation. There's probably 7 more under construction, double that many in planning that we think will be in place by 2020. And there's a lot of them in the Puget Sound region. It's impressive. Just in King County, we have a treatment plant out at Carnation that discharges reclaimed water to a wetlands. At the South Plant, which is over in Renton, we have water used by the city of Tukwila, as well as looking at the golf course down there. King County Conservation District uses reclaimed water for all the irrigation of the native plants they're using for restoration, and some of the other entities in the county that have reclaimed water projects. A couple of big picture ideas. It is a new kind of water. Before it was wastewater, now we've cleaned it up. We're still real early in the institutional framework. There's still a lot of unknowns. Those risks are usually a detriment to getting projects going. That's why we have the legislation and the rulemaking going on. It makes sense to explore potential uses of water to meet future needs. But for reclaimed water, economic forces alone are not going to create it. You got to have subsidies or you got to have pilot projects. Our interests are certainly a predictable water supply for people. If you don't know, there's actually a new regional water supply for people that'll be published on the Central Puget Sound Forum's webpage any day now. Predictable water for habitat, these PEP programs that I was talking about. We certainly have ownership of the problem at the local level. We have interlocal government agreements in each of those water resource inventory areas to restore salmon. And we certainly have some ownership of the solution. And we have ideas, but not specifics on all of the recovery plan right now. So how does reclaimed water fit in? In many respects, we don't know. And that's why Mark's going to talk about King County's reclaimed water plan.
Good morning. Again, my name is Mark Buescher. I work with the King County Wastewater Treatment Division. And we are working to develop a reclaimed water comprehensive plan for our region. Just to give you some quick background, this map of the Seattle King County, the western part of the Seattle and King County, shows the existing regional wastewater system that the county operates. Right now, today, at our treatment plants, we're going to collect about 200 to 250 million gallons of raw sewage. We're going to treat that sewage and we're going to discharge it to what is referred to as a secondary standard of treatment. And basically two levels of treatment, and then that effluent, almost 100% of that effluent is going to be discharged to Puget Sound. Our two main treatment plants are the South Treatment Plant, which is down at the south end of Lake Washington, at the west end of the West Point plant that's operated in Discovery Park. We will be building, I think you've probably seen news, we're building a third treatment plant in Woodinville area that will be the Brightwater Treatment Plant, should be online in about 2012. What we're trying to figure out is, or what we're trying to develop in this plan is to whether or not we should be, if it makes sense for us to treat the effluent or the raw sewage that we collect to a higher standard so that it can be used as a resource rather than simply having it being discharged into the Sound. Our planning area, this, which is outlined by the purple line, basically follows generally our service area for the wastewater system. The red hatched lines basically show our existing reclaimed water system. Steve touched on this a little earlier. At the South Treatment Plant, we have a small reclaimed water facility that's been operating for about 10 years where we use that reclaimed water for on-site purposes for processed water at the treatment plant itself, and then we also sell the water to Tukwila, where they irrigate a park, a golf course, and use it for street cleaning and the like. Carnation, we have a very small treatment plant out there, only about 100,000 gallons a day. It's a brand new facility to replace what was a citywide septic system that was failing. We're collecting all of the wastewater out there, treating all of it to a Class A reclaimed water standard. We're discharging that through a wetland adjacent to the Snoqualmie River, and then that water then moves through the wetland into the river at a very important point in the river for salmon spawning. So we're basically helping to maintain base flow conditions in that stretch of the river, especially during the summer. And then the large cross-hatched area at the top basically is where the Brightwater facility will be online in about 2012. And from there, we will be able to produce about 7 million gallons a day of reclaimed water and send that back down the Sammamish Valley for irrigation and other purposes. We have three basic drivers for developing our plan, and our plan is to figure out whether or not we should be expanding this existing reclaimed water system. First of all, since we are the regional wastewater service provider, we have a responsibility to plan for the future and consider new technologies. Reclaimed water aside, we have to spend about $500 million over the next 25 years to 30 years to be able to expand our regional conveyance system and expand treatment capacity at the South Plant to handle growth and be able to provide peak flow capacity to handle flows during storm events without overflow. And of course the question is whether or not we should be trying to fit in reclaimed water technology into these planned expansions and improvements rather than having to do expensive retrofits later on. Second thing is we have a mission as a division to create resources from wastewater. For about 30 years, 35 years, we've successfully captured all of the solids that come out of the wastewater treatment system. We compost those and turn them into a product called biosolids, and those have been sold to farmers in eastern Washington and also applied on forest land in the Cascades as a soil amendment. We're capturing about 70% of the digester gas, the methane gas that's produced as a natural byproduct of wastewater treatment. We're using that as an energy supply at our treatment plants and also selling it back to the natural gas company. And again, that's therefore using a waste product beneficially. However, right now, our largest waste product is still the treated effluent with discharge to the Sound, and the system that we have, the reclaimed water system we have in place, only allows us to capture about 1% of our daily effluent total, and we're basically seeing if we can expand that to a much larger percentage and therefore have a better, or significant beneficial impact on the region. The third issue, or the third driver for the plan, is our need to collectively and play our part in responding to issues about the health of Puget Sound. Puget Sound is a water body is in trouble for a variety of reasons. Nutrient loading is one of those problems that's affecting the Sound, and wastewater treatment plants are in the Sound are a significant source of nutrients entering the Sound, and since we are the largest wastewater treatment operator in the Puget Sound area, we basically are expecting that we're going to be having to operate to higher standards in the future, and so we're wanting to look at whether we need to make additional investment cost effectively, again, to turn our effluent into a resource rather than a product that is simply discharged to the Sound. We've implemented a rather complicated planning process because if you get involved in anything related to water or water resource management, you'll find that the politics and and the interests of water and water resources are diverse and large. And so we right now, to develop this Reclaim Water Comprehensive Plan, are working with all water purveyors in the region, all wastewater purveyors in the region, tribes, state agencies, and environmental groups, all working together to try to come up with a common approach to being able to produce clean, or to whether or not we should be producing reclaimed water. This process basically has us starting to first gather basic information that I'll tell and data about what potential uses exist for reclaimed water. At step three in the planning process, we would develop strategies for able to produce and distribute reclaimed water to serve those uses. And then in steps 4, 5, and 6 in the planning process, we would go into an analytical phase where we would do a cost-benefit analysis of the different strategies to produce and distribute reclaimed water, an engineering feasibility study, environmental studies. And then finally, at step 6, we would then need to do a financing plan to figure out how you would pay for all this. The other thing you'll learn if you get into doing any kind of water supply planning or wastewater planning and you're dealing with infrastructure, it's always going to be expensive. And so how you pay for it and it becomes a very significant issue. What's important about this planning process is that we don't have a predetermined outcome, that we are in fact going to develop a plan that will have us expand the system. We're going to wait and make that decision based on the results of the analytical steps that I just went through. We could end up developing a reclaimed water comprehensive plan, or we could basically delay developing the plan because we don't have enough information at this time, and instead simply just look at revising the policies that guide our existing program. At the step we're in right now is data collection. We're basically trying to gather information about two types of potential uses for reclaimed water. One type is consumptive type uses, where you would use your reclaimed water for irrigation or for industrial process water or for other non-potable uses of potable water that occur throughout the urban area. A second type of use is what we refer to as uses for environmental enhancement, where we would basically return the reclaimed water directly to the environment, either through stream flow augmentation, through wetlands restoration, or through groundwater recharge. This data collection step is very important for us to be able to come up with some idea of the scale of what demand for the water would be, and therefore that affects how we move into developing planned strategies for, again, producing and distributing reclaimed water to meet those potential uses identified during the data collection step. When we talk about strategies, this is just a slide that kind of gives you a general idea of what we're talking about. We can look at either developing centralized, using our central treatment facilities like at West Point, South Plant, or Brightwater as the means of producing and distributing reclaimed water, where we would simply send all the wastewater to our regional facilities, clean it to a higher standard, put it back in a regional conveyance system, and send it back out into the region to serve potential uses. The thing is that then you have some advantages in that you can put all of your treatment investments in a single place, but you end up sometimes with having to spend a lot more money on conveyance to move water further and further away from your treatment source, and you may not be able to then serve as many uses as possible. Another approach we will look at is developing decentralized facilities, where we may develop additional smaller treatment plants that would be able to produce reclaimed water, and we produce it closer to the potential uses that we identify. That allows us then to significantly reduce the cost of our conveyance improvements, but it does then potentially require us to spend more money on treatment capacity than may occur if we simply stuck with the regional approach to large regional treatment plant approach to providing treatment capacity for the region. So these are some of the balancing tests that we're going to have to look at during our planning process. This is just to give you a little bit of an idea, again, the types of information that we're collecting, and the way that we're collecting this information is we're going out and talking with our interested parties about what they see as potential uses for reclaimed water, and then building our plan based on external input rather than the county, basically, as a wastewater agency, trying to identify on its own what potential uses for reclaimed water are. And again, we're looking equally at non-potable consumptive uses as well as environmental enhancement uses. This next series of maps, we've divided our planning area into four areas just to be able for ease of showing where potential uses are. But we've been able to work with jurisdictions around the county to basically identify both irrigation, which is shown in the green. Irrigation for agriculture and nursery businesses, which is shown in the red, and then commercial and industrial uses shown in the blue dots in this part of the county. And I have four slides, but I'll go through them relatively quickly because I think what's interesting to note about this part of the region, which is a bit of a challenge, is then what is the demand like is for those uses that we've seen. We have an irrigation season, which is about 150 days long in the King County area, which starts in mid-April or May and runs through September. And what you see here and what you'll see on the other slides is that most of the irrigation or most of the demand for reclaimed water in the Seattle King County area only exists during those 150 days a year during the wet season, really, that starts really this month and goes through until the early spring. The demand for reclaimed water is extremely limited. So this is a challenge for us because if we're going to be putting in this investment to produce and distribute reclaimed water, there could be significant times of the year where the demand for that water for consumptive purposes doesn't exist. That's a problem in that you have the infrastructure sitting around. But the other thing is, since these are consumptive uses, we can actually sell that water. Well, for 210 days a year, we don't have a customer. So that's going to be that is a significant challenge for this planning process. Seattle area, again, we have uses. We're still gathering information, and we expect to get a lot of information about the south end of the city, but this is what we had as of last week. But again, in Seattle, you see the same trend. Irrigation season has most of the use. The wet season has very little use. The eastern part of the county, Bellevue out past Lake Sammamish, same situation where you have very limited use during the wet season. And then the south, again, the same problem. The other thing we're looking at is, as I mentioned, we're looking at the environmental enhancement uses for the area. What we did was is we spent the last year going through a myriad of past studies and monitoring data of wetlands, streams, and groundwater across King County, and basically summarizing all that information together and trying to answer one question. And that basic question is, what information exists that shows where there are water bodies, whether, again, there are wetlands, streams, or aquifers, groundwater, where the base flow conditions are declining and therefore these resources could benefit from additional flows of water? And what we found was is that there are 12 basins inside our planning area that have significant declines in summer base flow, sometimes up to 82% decline over what base flow conditions used to be. And then in addition to that, we've been able to estimate what additional flow of water would be necessary to restore base flows in these basins. And that comes up to a number of 83 cubic feet per second or 54 million gallons of water per day distributed among these 12 basins. That's a significant number. When I started this conversation with you, I said that during the dry season of the year, we're producing about 200 million to 250 million gallons of effluent daily. So just to restore 12 basins, that's 25% of our daily output, which is a significant amount of flow for us, and therefore we have the potential to have to provide a lot of good to these basins, and because of the size of the volume, we may be able to achieve some economies of scale to produce and distribute reclaimed water. And this is information that was somewhat surprising to us to be able to get to such a large number, and it gives us some hope that we may be able to develop a plan that has a clear benefit cost positive ratio. In total, to date, in addition to the 54 million gallons per day of water that could be used beneficially for environmental enhancement uses during the dry season of the year, or the season where there was irrigation, we've also been able to identify 37 million gallons of consumptive demand that could also be met with reclaimed water. But then our challenge is that of that 37 million gallons, only 2 million gallons a day is needed during the 210 days a year that is referred to as the wet season. So again, that is going to be a challenge for us. We also believe, I should say, that this 54 million gallons per day that is necessary to help restore the basins that I mentioned, that 54 million gallons a day can actually be used year-round. Because the methods that you can use to bring the water back into the basins, you don't necessarily and oftentimes don't want to directly put it into a stream. You're going to want to be putting it into shallow aquifers or through wetlands so it enters streams through the most natural means possible. And that activity usually requires time, and we can actually then probably put all or most of that water to work 12 months of the year. This is a very quick overview of a rather complicated planning process, and if you have questions, both Steve and I can answer them. But then if you have questions later on, my contact information is up here that you can either call me or send me an email, and I'm happy to get back to you. So with that, I think we're happy to answer any questions. No, not at all. The question was, have we thought about storage of water of treated effluent during the winter time? And that's not at all a feasible approach because, again, you're talking about hundreds of millions of gallons a day, and we need to then get rid of it. We have to start afresh every day, and so any water that is not reclaimed would then be discharged to Puget Sound. Even if it was treated to a reclaimed water standard, it would have to be discharged to the Sound. That's an interest. What kind of revenue does the consumptive use generate? Basically, the rule of thumb is that you can, or the industry standard is, that you can sell reclaimed water for up to 80% of the retail price of potable water. Now the problem, and of course potable water standards, potable water rates are very different throughout the area, but that's an industry standard. Now the problem is that since you're building a brand new infrastructure, your rates are not going to be able to recover. Rates alone for reclaimed water will not come close to recovering costs, especially given the challenge that we have. Also, for the environmental enhancement uses, which could turn out to be the lion's share of what our water is used for, the fish don't have jobs, and so we're not going to be able to sell them water. So we're going to have to find another revenue source to do that. The other challenge that's related to revenue and costs is that you have a continuum of raw sewage here, and then you move along a continuum of cleaning it to, say, a secondary standard and discharging it to Puget Sound. Now, everyone agrees that all those costs associated with doing that are appropriately paid for by the regional wastewater ratepayer. Okay. Then, from that point forward, if you start to talk about reclaimed water, you're then talking about additional investment and operating costs for treatment, and then to a Class A reclaimed water standard, and then you're going to have this additional, then you're going to have on top of that an additional cost to move that water through a whole new infrastructure to its potential uses. Now, the thing is where, because of the potential for changing standards for treatment, where the regional wastewater ratepayers' responsibility ends and other sources of revenue take over, have to take over and take the responsibility, is a source of great debate. A lot of people will say, you can get about, I can fill this room with people that are interested in this planning process. Half of the people in the room will say, well, any step beyond secondary treatment, that's not the responsibility of the regional wastewater ratepayer. And that has to be paid for by other sources of revenue. The other half of the room will say, no, no, the costs necessary to, say, protect, to remove nutrients from wastewater entering Puget Sound, cleaning it to that standard, and will be to, is the regional wastewater ratepayers' responsibility, and only the distribution costs are the reclaimed water customers' ratepayer responsibility. Others will even, and then some of those people will also say, no, 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 we don't want the water going into the Sound, even if it's Class A reclaimed water, and so even most of the cost of the distribution should be the regional wastewater ratepayers' responsibility. And so that's going to be one of the significant financing challenges that we're going to have to work at, is getting to one of those, to those benefits. But to go back to your original question, rates for reclaimed water will not come close to recovering the costs necessary to produce and distribute reclaimed water on a large scale, or even a small scale. It oftentimes is not you know, an investment that you get immediate return on. Dr. Brown.
So you are a wastewater.
Yes.
And how closely linked is the wastewater treatment division to the county infrastructure that supplies clean water?
County does not supply clean water. County's not a water supplier. The regional water suppliers in the area are the City of Seattle, the Cascade Water Alliance, which consists of about 8 jurisdictions on the east side, and then a series of other jurisdictions that will say, like the City of Kent or the City of Auburn, that produce their, they have their own water supplies and sell it to them, and they're both they're a wholesaler to their own customers. So that's a whole nother bailiwick I was trying not to get into, it's a fundamental question, is if we're a wastewater utility and we're going to produce a resource, which is now reclaimed water that can be used for anything except drinking, we're basically entering into the water supply business. And that's a business that's occupied by water districts and the City of Seattle and the Cascade Water Alliance and other water suppliers. And they're not that anxious to see another source of water. We basically would like to be a wholesaler, where we would provide that water back to those regional suppliers, and then they would turn around and sell it to their customers. That's basically the working relationship that we have with the City of Tukwila. We simply produce the water, sell it to the City of Tukwila. They turn around and sell it to the customers that in their city, like like a golf course and other businesses down there that actually want the water. So that's kind of the way we're trying to deal with that issue. But it's prickly. I'm sorry, you were first.
Yes. Is there anyone that's looking at the total cycle in here, from point of precipitation? In other words, some of the concepts are dealing with less consumption of water by the initial user.
Yeah.
So is there any way that you're coordinating with people who are doing that?
Oh, yeah, we every day. And in fact, see, our projections for the wastewater agent for wastewater treatment demand in the future assume significant continued reduction in per capita use of reclaimed water. But we still have we have two issues that we have to deal with that require us to increase the capacity of our system. One is we're still projecting significant growth in this region over the next 25 to 30 years with new people moving in. The second thing is this, is that we have a responsibility, we have a standard for operating the wastewater treatment system that says no overflows in a separated system. The standard for that, and for a long time, when the regional system started getting developed in 1960 through about 1998, we never really had an adopted design standard for basically having adequate capacity in the system. When the Regional Wastewater Services Plan was adopted in 1998, that included a uniform standard for basically making sure that the system as it was could be upgraded to meet a capacity standard, and all future improvements to the system would meet the same capacity standard. That is, as we build everything to meet what's referred to as a 20-year peak flow event, which is, I won't go into the details of what all that means is, but when we adopted that standard, it was known that significant parts of the system don't meet that standard because they were never designed to meet it. So that's another reason why we're having to make so much investment in the system. It's not purely for growth, but it's also to provide peak flow capacity in the system as well. And peak flow capacity, what's significant about that is peak flow events take into account that we get a lot of stormwater into the system, some that's designed, some that's not designed. And we use it during the wet season. We get four times as much water as we do into the wastewater system as we do during the dry season. And that's what drives our capacity. It's not water consumption. But still, we do consider and incorporate into our planning water conservation efforts. We're not, because
repeat the question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are we legally required to sell reclaimed water only within King County? And the answer to that question is no. For one reason, our service area extends into Snohomish County. King County's regional wastewater system is based on the old Metro. Does anybody remember when Metro was a regional government here?
Only the old people.
Yeah. We're the old people. Who remembers Metro? So in 1994, well, there was a regional government here that was responsible for the buses and wastewater up until 1994. And it was referred to as Metro. And all of the local agencies in the area, including some in Snohomish County and a couple in Pierce County, were a part of it. And it refers back to something Steve referred to back in the 60s, back in the late 50s. Lake Washington and a lot of water bars around here were horribly polluted because the sewage treatment was a haphazard activity, and Metro was formed in the late 50s, early 60s to remedy that, and that's when the South Treatment Plant was built, and that when the West Point Treatment Plant was built. And so in 1994, though, Metro was absorbed by the county via a vote of the people because of issues over representation. Nobody was elected to the Metro board. When King County took it over, we took over the boundaries of the Metropolitan Service District for regional activities, and so our regional service area extends a little bit into Pierce County, but also extends into South Snohomish County. And in fact, the Brightwater plant that we're building is actually in just across the border in Snohomish County, so we can sell outside of the King County's limits. The practical concern is not county borders so much as it is the cost of pipes. Yeah, that was your question.
I didn't hear the question.
Oh, yeah, it's the slide that you brought up about there's 20 reclaimed water projects across the state and 40 or so in design.
And where are they? To just amplify upon it, they take an existing wastewater treatment plant and then they will retrofit it and add additional treatment to create the reclaimed water. So the first starting point in any reclaimed water project is you have to have a waste treatment plant. And so that's what they're doing.
And then I think the other part of your question is those numbers, those are statewide numbers. Okay. In King County, of those existing 20 or so projects, there's the South Treatment Plant. There's the West Point Plant, which is very small. We only use water there for on-site purposes. There is the Carnation Treatment Plant. And then when Brightwater comes online, it'll have a reclaimed water function to it as well. So that would be four reclaimed water projects in King County. But the numbers that Steve quoted were statewide. And again, a lot of those, surprisingly, even most of those are actually on the west side of the state. There are reclaimed water projects on the east side, Spokane, several other places. But even on the west side, which is the wet side of the state, significant number of reclaimed water plants are being developed. Kitsap County has a few. Whidbey Island is working on a very interesting one. And so it's a statewide function. Well, as a matter of fact, we do. But there's this nasty little thing called I&I. You ever heard of I&I? Infiltration and inflow. It's basically water finding its way, stormwater finding its way into the wastewater system through cracks and pipes, sunken manholes and the like. So it gets into the wastewater system. And then once into the system, the pipes actually act as a vacuum. So when you have cracked pipes or leaking pipes, wastewater doesn't come out. Groundwater and water in the soil actually gets in. And so that's where the significant part of, that's how stormwater gets into our system. It's not supposed to, but it's a problem of a death by a thousand cuts. It's little things all over the place, most of them existing on private property. So it's very, the private connection of the sewer system to a house or a business where I&I occurs. The only part of our system where we have what's called a combined system exists in Seattle. And you'll find in most large cities, they have the wastewater system is a combined system designed for the stormwater and the wastewater to go into the system. And the reason for that dates to the fact that these sewer systems tended to be built at the turn of the century, and there were a lot of horse-drawn carts and such in the streets, and so you had a lot of manure and other things in the streets that you didn't want in the stormwater. And so at the time it made a lot of sense for this go to wastewater into the wastewater system. The cost of retrofitting that and completely getting rid of a combined system is exorbitant, and it's done sort of slowly over time as your conveyance and collection system has to be modified. But the significant issue related to the numbers I was talking about is this issue of infiltration and inflow. And it's very difficult to deal with. And we are trying to deal with it separately. That said, we still have huge amounts of water that get into our wastewater system during the wet season that we have to handle.
I think we are just about out of time, but please feel free to come up afterwards if you have that one last burning question. So let's thank them for their time.